Welcome to Next Talk, powered by Compass Group. We're discussing how today's climate will impact the future of on-site food service. Bringing together the most innovative thought leaders, this series will explore how we adapt to the new normal, contribute to a successful outcome, and help lead the industry for the long term. Joining us today on Next Talk is Gail Moutry, Global VP of Brand Experience and Workplace Innovation for Steelcase, the world's authority on office environments. Also with us is Anthony Gargiulo, Envision Group's Senior Vice President of Design Innovation and Space Transformation. It is so great to have you both here.
Thank you.
Laura, thank you. Always great to be back. Gail, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, I'm not even sure where to begin, to be honest. I hold the relationship, this partnership that we share with Steelcase very near and dear to my heart. I think it's a passion that started some 5 years ago for me when I embarked on this whole space transformation strategy, all in the spirit of, you know, connecting and collaborating, and how do we bring more people together more often and in more environments, and how do we ensure that we nourish them everywhere?
We've had a great partnership for a number of years, as you said, but I think actually it's just going to keep getting stronger and stronger as I think about what we collectively need to do as we start to come out of this crazy situation we're in.
Steelcase is planning for the now, the near, and the far. And as we take learnings from our collective networks around the world, what's the now look like as for work environments that as they're so quickly adapting?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time right now. And in fact, part of the reason why we wanted to develop that framework of now, near, and far is just that so many of the organizations we work with are They're just unsure. They really don't know how to think about the far. They don't know how to think about what it means for them right now. So to answer your question, you know, the right now for many organizations is that they're starting to go back to their work environments. If I talk about the workplace specifically, and as they do, they're going back in a more measured way. As many people know, they're going back in waves. Now, we have been going back for a number of weeks in Asia. This week has been interesting for us to start to return to the workplace in places like Germany and also France. And then the now, as you know, across the US and Canada, it's really within the next handful of weeks that these organizations are going to start to go back. So the now is where they're really concerned primarily about safety. You know, it's the safety of the people. And again, safety is the reason why for most of the organizations, it's a small percentage or a minimal percentage of people who are going back. Certainly in our case, we are sending back, you know, the first wave or group of people are the ones where it's absolutely essential that they be together. And that, you know, that's pretty much what we see with other organizations. The now we talk about is how could you very quickly apply some degree of retrofit to your existing space? So, you know, what that means, it's actually a combination of variables. There's a construct that we use or a set of design considerations that we say, think about the density in terms of, you know, number of people per square meter or square feet of space. But then also consider the geometry. So geometry is actually how you have the people physically located to each other. So are they, you know, if they're side by side, you don't want them to be too close. You also don't want them to be sitting across from each other. So where, you know, we talk about the workplace or certainly the furniture in the workplace, we say if you configure that in a geometric fashion, then you're going to have the people following. And so again, we're applying as much as we all know right now in terms of the ideal distance between people, but then the geometry is also looking at the direction that people are facing in. And then the third one is division. And so division really means panels, screens, barriers, so that you have people feeling as confident as they can or as safe as they can within the current situation. So it's very quick I don't want to say it's a fix, but it's a very quick retrofit to make what you have right now as safe as possible for the number of people that you're bringing in, just to begin with.
You know, Gail, one of the things I've always admired about Steelcase is the thought that goes into producing everything, right? There's a why for it all, you know, why that color, why that shape, why that plant, why that function. And I think it's served you really well over the years, and I think it will continue to serve well in this environment. It's great to get that global perspective. We too look at the world of Compass across the globe and try to learn from countries like Asia on what they've learned as they've re-entered their workforce, and how do we bring that forward to countries who may be lagging a little bit behind, right? So that's the strength of this global partnership and just global companies who get together to share like this.
Yeah, Anthony, there was a last time you and I chatted, there was a great word that you used, and I have borrowed it. I've blatantly stolen this from you, so I hope that's okay.
All yours.
But you talked about instilling confidence, and I loved that. And I think for what you do, but also for what we do, this first wave of people coming back, it's so critical, everything that our organizations do to actually give them that confidence. And where I've been using that, and you also said this, is, you know, the communications are how actively we communicate, the transparency of our communications and the clarity of our communications. I'm using all of that right now to say, we need to do that. We have to do that, because that's how we'll instill confidence. And I thought it was just such a good, it's more than just a word. It was such a good thing to put out there. And so we're using it as a bit of a compass, pun intended, for us as we think about what it is that we want to do. Because isn't that everything? Isn't the confidence that they feel confident in coming back to the workplace, you know, which is where we want them, then, I mean, that's going to be the first lever to drive everybody feeling better.
There's a lot of hesitation, Gail, right? And so as we're doing all of this, because it's all so very serious, I think we also have to remember to keep it light and have some fun in how we welcome our people back, and, you know, and do some really fun things with, you know, maybe even a live feed from our kitchen, showcasing our great chefs who are preparing their favorite meals. But there's concern, there's fear, and it's up to us to make them feel welcome and make them feel comfortable.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that about certainly about your organization, and I hope I can put Steelcase in the same category, that what we understand is the human side of, you know, experiences, great experiences, right? Whether it's, you know, within the workplace or the services that you provide, like, we know how to do that. So I thought, what an amazing challenge for all of us to take these, what could be, well, what are grim circumstances, and actually add a level of pleasantry. Or pleasantness, I suppose, is the correct way to say it. But to actually think about how do we still allow service and a great experience to enter into, you know, this situation. I can't think of a better challenge for an organization like yours or for Steelcase.
That is a nice idea there. In addition to instilling confidence, also introducing a level of compassion that I think everyone is certainly welcoming at this point. We've talked a lot about what's the now, but in addition, we're preparing for the short-term changes that we may see. So, Gail, what work is Steelcase planning beyond retrofitting existing spaces that we might see kind of in the near term?
In the near term, what we're working on is bringing a new level of data and ideally some information that we can learn from science to the things that we're doing. So, you know, as I mentioned with the now, it really is as much as anybody knows to do at the moment. But we are going to begin working with a world-renowned lab, people who are experts in fluid dynamics, meaning, you know, they're really the people who understand the transmission of many of the, you know, the pathogens and things. And for us, what we're hoping to understand is how within an environment we might actually be able to suppress transmission of those. So we're working with this lab to test different materials, to understand which are the, you know, ideal or best types of materials to use to actually help with this suppression. And then we're also working with them to understand types of configurations or layouts within a space that might either be problematic or, you know, ideally we'll be able to test and then make some, offer some suggestions in terms of applications that could be more successful. So we're just beginning that right now. We're going to work as quickly as we can, as hard as we can, to understand, as I said, this new data that we can get from science. And then, of course, you know, as fast as we can learn that, we want to share that with our partners so that together we can feel good about making, you know, certain recommendations or suggestions that are beyond what we know to do right now. But that's because we have some solid science-based data behind it.
Looking at data, look at opportunity. So what is the opportunity now and how we can reimagine our business to better adapt, to potentially be more right-sized, to continue to evolve and embrace as we start to solution for what we define reentry to look like. I think we just have to get very creative, which is really nothing new for us, and start to implement some fun and clever ways to let people know that we care about taking care of them. I mean, ultimately, people do want to get back to the things they love. They do want to get back to work. So I think we need to pick up where we left off and do a lot of this reimagining and experiencing through this new lens. But for us, I think it's possible. And it's possible to start transforming our cafes into more of these marketplaces, or our seating environments into more, potentially more meeting space, as well as seating space. You know, maybe give them option to reserve their dining table or their favorite table in the cafe, or create these centralized drop zones. But to me, it's all opportunity and a roadmap we had before that is only going to get stronger now.
I think it's incredibly reassuring that science, data, and emerging technologies are all influencing the short term, and certainly will have a significant influence as we plan for the long term. So, Gail, can you tell us, what do you think the workplace of the future will look like?
Yeah, so we actually think that as we move more into the future, that it's going to be reinvention is actually what's going to be required. As we look at the workplace in the future, it's probably going to have to be an ecosystem of spaces that we use. So that's a language that we've used before as we talked about within the workplace, that this ecosystem of spaces is your social spaces, and it's, you know, the ability to work maybe at a workstation, but it's in the cafe, the work cafes and meeting rooms. And we would talk about this range of spaces that people would use. Well, we think as we go forward, in order to achieve, you know, less density, we're going to have to think of the home as another offering or another node on that network of this ecosystem of spaces. Additionally, one of the things that we think we may be seeing are perhaps a reintroduction of more satellite spaces. So I think as we come to terms with the fact that one of the biggest issues about being in the workplace isn't actually being in it, it's how you get there. So the transit, you know, the commute, and how people may not be able to apply social distancing for certainly in the near term, but if we face anything like this again. So we think that this ecosystem of spaces, as I said, may have to expand to possibly include some satellite locations that are outside of a central hub, as well as the ability for some people sometimes to work from home. So we certainly don't think that everybody everywhere is going to even want to always work from home. But this idea of having that flexibility does mean that, you know, that's one way that you can manage how we have, you know, how we have a work environment that is not quite as dense as it once was. And then the other factor to add to that is one that I'd call it more about being fluid, and fluidity in the sense of, you know, right now a work environment is usually comprised of fixed elements, some flexible elements, and very few truly fluid elements. And that's what we think is just going to have to actually be turned on its head. So we probably will want to see more fluid spaces, certainly more flexible spaces, and maybe less of those fixed spaces, primarily for the purpose of allowing us to move quickly. And if, you know, if we're smart, we'll have learned from this and say, okay, if this happens to us again, how can we respond more quickly?
With these fluid spaces, I mean, you're talking about adaptability. So does that impact what the furniture and what the materials, surface materials are? Are they lighter? Are they more flexible? Is that an element of change that you see?
Yeah, thank you for saying all of those things. You know, adaptability, we think, is going to be key. So how quickly can an environment adapt to whatever new conditions are? And that would be, you know, the use of materials. It would be the design of the objects that go into the space, you know, the furniture. And the more that you can very quickly adapt that, so, you know, to use the circumstances we're in right now, you know, how quickly you could start to social distance is something that just happens again. And really be able to very quickly apply the kind of, you know, the things that we're doing right now in terms of retrofitting. How can we think about not having to do that again? And that's where, you know, planning for all of this is a very different type of planning than what is currently used, not only in workplace, but the design of most of our buildings don't actually allow for that. So thinking about what that may mean in the future, in addition to understanding some of the emerging technologies. So, you know, we've all learned about contact tracing, two words that I don't think very many of us ever thought about before, and whether, you know, whether we do that within the built environment or how, you know, how the HVAC aspects of the building could actually help us with some of these airborne pathogens. Those are all going to become really key to how we think about what we want our future work environment to be.
I mean, the hope is that eventually we get back to a place of normalcy, right? Understanding right. that the workplace has changed. Remote, to Gail's point, remote is not remote anymore. It's part of a new norm. So to me, this opens up the door. It opens up the door for some models to emerge, for space and place to be reimagined, for, you know, new business to start to flourish. But I agree, speed and agility are key to getting to market here. And from a Compass perspective, we're looking at very similar things, right? The evolution of new products, safer materials, different configurations when we talk about space planning. Gail mentioned density, proximity, geometry. Again, all words that weren't typically used as we're thinking about how we come together as people in space. Materiality, I think, is a big one, and I'm glad you brought it up. You know, thinking about common space and also thinking about shared space. Bringing science into it, just like we bring data into it, I think it's critical. Gail, one of the conversations we had, you mentioned the difference between two other words that people have probably never heard of, right? The difference between a hydrophobic material versus a hydroplicid material, right? Soft surfaces right. versus hard surfaces. And that's going to play a role. But for us, mm-hmm. you know, everything modular, mobile, potentially even temporary. Technologies and HVAC, again, on our list as well. Air systems, which are shared resources. Maybe antimicrobial lighting. But one thing for sure is that we need to accept what's going on. We need to adapt. We need to change, and we need to move on. Flexibility, or ultimate flexibility, is key to becoming resilient and moving forward.
Exactly.
And one behavior that we don't see changing is that need for human connection. Maybe it doesn't happen as often, but that need for human connection is still there. But when it comes to routine business behaviors, face-to-face meetings, for example, there will need to be some changes for everyone to feel safe.
Yeah, the idea of stand-up meetings is an interesting one because, you know, certainly being together is something we all crave. And we're seeing you just can't turn that off. It's what most people are really missing right now. And you know, you use the word proximity, Anthony, and you know the proximity or principles of proximity. Just it's interesting to think about those in two ways. You know, we had some people say, "Wow, if we have to social distance for a while, it's going to be really hard to maintain that, you know, 6 feet between us." But then the more people talk about it, they say, well, would you rather have 6 feet between you or not be together at all? And, you know, I think you can see from the number of people right now that are having, you know, gatherings. I probably shouldn't use the word gathering, but they're, you know, families are coming together and standing 6 feet apart from each other in a backyard or out on the road, or people who are driving by and wishing each other happy birthday and so on. I think that you know, the desire to be together, that desire for proximity, will feel a little uncomfortable at first, but I think, you know, the human need there just wins out over the uncomfortable aspect of it. But, you know, the idea of standing meetings, we have talked about that a lot, because prior to this happening, you know, the world of agile and agile behavior, which a lot of, you know, the technology teams and groups have adopted that, there's much of that that we think could actually become even more prevalent as we go back. And the fact that, you know, standing meetings, you know, if we do stand up, there's one very practical element behind that, is when we're standing at a surface and there's no chair, it's one less element to clean, at least in the beginning, while we think a lot of, you know, this idea of clean in, clean out. And as I go into a space, I clean it, and as I leave, I clean it again, just personally on my own. So there's a practical reason for the stand-up meeting. But we also think that as we look at using some of our social spaces, like our work cafe, if, you know, using those beyond the traditional use, which actually we've been doing for a number of years, which is why we call our spaces work cafes, we can have stand-up meetings in there. We can respect the social distancing and use that real estate as a means of having a meeting, but also, you know, as a means of nourishment. And, you know, I know that's everything that your business is about, and that nourishment part is so key, you know, whether it's the physical nourishment or the emotional nourishment that we're going to get from being back at work.
Tactics like spacing or integration of touchless, right? I think wherever possible,
right.
Touchless faucets or automated doors or motion sensors, voice activation in equipment and or in facilities, facial recognition, no touch garbage and recycling. These are all things that we are working on very actively in our space today, and happy to say that we're piloting many of these tactics in a lot of the robotic and automated delivery solutions that we're working on. But it's about being human and then making it easy to integrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's some survey research we were doing that I looked at it the other day, and what was remarkable is to see the increasing number of people who are saying they're finding it more stressful to be at home, which they might not have thought prior to that. But when we asked about that, they said, you know, many of them said, well, first of all, I eat better when I'm at work. So they actually seem to be taking care of their health as far as their food a little bit better when they are at work versus being at home. And then there was also, you know, comments that contrary to how we think working at home achieves a better work-life balance, we've had an increasing number of people say, I don't have any work-life balance right now, that my life is just a series of meetings, you know, via technology, but then there's no break, and that you go from that right away to the kids who need to be fed and the work that needs to be done. So it's interesting for us just to observe all of this and see how many of the things that we might have thought were stressful about getting up and going to work every day, that we're gaining a fresh perspective on that one.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
I will be the first to admit I eat much better when I'm at work. So I do miss my Compass family so much. But we've been talking a lot about workspaces in general. How does this unfold? How do these changes map out when it comes to education or healthcare environments?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are quite similar in the sense, you know, understanding how to best protect oneself in healthcare. There's been much that healthcare has helped teach the rest of us. So, you know, applying some of these things around, you know, the ideas of the density and geometry and division. I would say, you know, primarily division is something that we've learned from healthcare. And as healthcare looks forward, you know, they're looking to us to help with some things, like are there new experiences we need to be creating for people in the future when they go to a health environment? And are there, you know, experiences around food services? What are some of the things that we need to be thinking about there in terms of the place as well as the services that you offer? Education, I would say, is quite similar. In fact, just, I guess on Monday, we're going to be publishing a guide on how you navigate through this experience in education. And so again, as we look at classrooms or we look at the food service areas for education or some of their shared spaces like libraries, again, we're applying that construct of density, geometry, and division. And there's some great similarities in the things that they're doing right now. But I would say some of the things that we talked about for the future, they're very similar. And, you know, above all, for everybody else, you know, the safety of kids, students, people in a healthcare facility or people at work, that's number one. And then after that is, you know, all the other things that we wanted to do before, we wanted to do for years by making all of these environments as helpful to people as we possibly can, as, you know, on an emotional and personal and human level. We're just adding this dimension now of safety.
And Laura, from my perspective, I think, you know, I say that well-designed space works, and it's still probably the place where people want to be, you know, regardless of industry. I also would say that much, if not all, the conversation we've had today can be applied across our entire business. It's relevant in all industries, and I think it's even more heightened, to Gail's point, in education and healthcare. And we can definitely take a page out of healthcare these days with how to look forward and address our business. But, you know, we have some work to do. And before we can expect people to come back to work or back to where we want them back, you know, we have to make sure that they feel safe and they feel healthy and that they feel valued. I look at, you know, something we've been doing and talking about for years, and that's the whole concept around neighborhoods in our cafes, neighborhoods in our workplace and on our campuses as a way to encourage and engage people. I think this still holds true as we're looking ahead and think about getting back into our space and our communities and our lives. Eventually, I think reinstating a sense of normalcy in that neighborhood where people feel comfortable and they trust. Once we can establish that, then we can think about a more neighborhood-centric design that will ultimately recreate our new norm. But I think it's a great starting point. I think we have a really great foundation to build from.
Well, both of you have made it very clear that there is a lot of research, design, and planning going on right now to ensure that we are prepared for the near, the now, and the far of our new normal. So thank you very much. Before we close out, we would like to do a quick speed round as a way for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better. Anthony's already answered. So Gail, it is all you. What are you most excited about doing once social distancing is over?
Well, the first thing is I want to hug my granddaughter,
who was
born the second week into this. So I've held her once when she was 5 hours old. And so that's number one thing I do.
Oh, I want a picture of that when that happens. What is something that you started doing during the stay at home that you would like to keep going?
Started having dinner with my family. I need to keep doing that. They're actually quite nice to be with. My life was I was very, very much or very frequently on an airplane. So making the effort more to eat dinner with them is something that I'll continue to do.
And do you have a top choice right now between a puzzle, a podcast, a board game, a movie, or a good book?
Oh, definitely a podcast with Anthony and Gail, definitely.
Good answer. Well, thank you both so much for your time, and we really do look forward to navigating what's next together.
We want to keep this conversation going. Join us at compassgroup.podbean.com to listen to a new episode every week. If you have questions or a request, send them to envisiongroup@compass-usa.com. Until then, be safe and be well.